When HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to destroy Midian, so Moshe said, no, I can't do it. I owe too much, I have too much HaKaras HaTov to Midian. I won't be able to do it. So it's very strange that God tells you to do something, and then Moshe says, no way, I'm not doing it. How does that work? We know there's halacha in general, even if God tells a Navi to go against a biblical law, you listen, we know we have a concept of a horashah, that for a certain time period, so let's say by Eliyahu Bahar Carmel, so he was able to violate a biblical law for horashah. So we see, listen to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he goes against the Torah. See, how could Moshe, what's Moshe didn't want to listen to God about Midian. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz is a famous piece that, of course, it wasn't that Moshe wasn't listening to God. Of course, he knew Moshe knew that he couldn't be telling him to go. He couldn't be telling him personally to do Midian, because God would never tell you to go against something where you owe HaKaras HaTov. It's totally, that's the purpose of creation was born on HaKaras HaTov. And as Bereishis, Reishis, as we know by Bikurim, is known as HaKaras HaTov, bringing your first fruit. So how does Rav Chaim Shmulevitz know this? Because we know we had a similar thing, that when God appeared to Moshe to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim, so he said, Aaron do it. Aaron's older, better. And God said, no, I need you to do it. Yet, nevertheless, even though God told Moshe that you're going to be the one doing it, the first three plagues, we know, Dam, Svarde, Arkinon, Dam, blood, frogs, and lice, we know what happened. We know that Aaron did it and not Moshe, because, as Rashi points out from Chazal, HaKaras HaTov, that the Nile River saved Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it wasn't doing anything special, but it did its job. So you still owe HaKaras HaTov, the frogs coming out of the water, as well as the earth that he was able to cover the Mitzvah. In fact, the Shemana Tov points out that we see, why does Rashi split them up? He should just say all three together. It says he puts the two of them together with water, with the frogs, and then he says, and also with the earth and the over the maize. So the Shemana Tov points out, what we see, by the water did its job. He was put in the Nile, and Bas Paro took him, and it worked out well. But by the earth, it only covered him temporarily. They found the body. So nevertheless, we see HaKaras HaTov applies even if you don't go the whole way. Even if someone can't take you home, but they take you halfway, they take you one block, they do a little bit for you. We see HaKaras HaTov applies even on any amount. And we see it applies even on inanimate objects. That's what we're talking about here. We're talking about the Nile, we're talking about earth and water, and they don't have any kavanas. They just happen to be doing what they're supposed to be doing. The fact that someone's doing their job doesn't mean you shouldn't have a HaKaras HaTov for them. In fact, that's what we see every Friday night. We make the Kiddush, when we make Kiddush Friday night, we cover the challah. Why do we cover the challah? Different reasons, but the reason that's nogea here is that if you're having a regular meal, so hamotzi wins. You always make hamotzi first, and then everything else is second or third. So hamotzi is always the king. But we know Friday night, Shabbos morning, we have a problem, or not a problem, we have a mitzvah of kiddush. So therefore, you have to, in order to eat, you have to make kiddush first. You can't have the challah before the bread. So to speak, not to embarrass the challah, we cover up the challah b'shas kiddush, the time of kiddush. The challah has no feelings. What is the answer is no. Obviously, the whole point is it makes no sense. People cover the challah, and they're fighting with their family over it. The point being is if you see for an inanimate object, you have a HaKaras HaTov, how much more so for someone who actually a human being, a yid, someone who did something for you, how much more so HaKaras HaTov do you need? And in fact, that's what That's the famous Maisa. I think they say it was Rav Henkin, maybe it was one of the Gedolim in Europe, and or back here, but back in the day when they had telegrams, so they used to have words. I think that you pay for 25 words, 100 words, 50 words, and somebody asked, I think it's Rav Henkin, I can only fit either please or thank you. Which one should I do? So of course you're thinking thank you is two words. No, in Yiddish it's only one word. So which one? So he says please is, you should always say please. It's a nice way of speaking, etiquette. But thank you, that's a chiyuv, that's a karas hatov. You have to actually say thank you, so therefore, obviously you put the thank you in. And in fact, that's the famous story with Schwab and the Alta of Slobodka. When he was learning, I guess, in Slobodka, they didn't have money, like most people then, so he had to borrow money after to go home for Ben Hazman, to go home for Sukkot. So he borrowed money, and when he came back, he paid back the Alta of Slobodka, and he said, thank you. So the Alta of Slobodka said, don't say thank you. It's ribbis dvarim, it's like taking interest. He said, okay. So comes the next Ben Hazman on Pesach. He doesn't have money, he borrows money. So when he comes back after Pesach, he pays the Alta of Slobodka back, but he doesn't say thank you. So the Alta of Slobodka goes crazy on him. What are you doing? No thank you, you ingrate. So Rav Schwab's very confused. He's saying, I don't get it. When I came for Sukkot, I said thank you, went crazy on me. And then I don't say thank you, you go crazy. So what's the right thing? So he says, no, he says, I didn't see you struggling with it. Meaning you should feel that you really, Alta Karas Hatov, you should feel I have to say thank you. But if Halacha says no, then don't say it, but you aren't even struggling with it. So the point being, Alta Karas Hatov, it's not the mere saying of the thank you, it's the feeling, it's the appreciation. And we see there's no statute of limitations as well. It even works Achamisa. We know Kibra Ve'eim, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, the Yisod is HaKaras HaTov. And we know Kibra Ve'eim is even Lachamisa. You say Kaddish, you have Shiva, you have the Yortzeit, all the things you do, Kfura. There's a lot of Kavod HaMeis after when your parents pass away. So we see Karas HaTov applies even Lachamisa. It applies even on occasional things and it applies inanimate objects. And that's the Yisod. And in fact, to conclude, that's the famous Avidram. The Avidram writes, he says, how come, we daven in Shmoneh Esrei, a silent prayer, and we in Shul for Tzibur, or anywhere but Tzibur, we do Chazoras Hashatz, we repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. So the Chazan repeats the Shmoneh Esrei, he does the whole Shmoneh Esrei. Yeah, when it comes to one part of davening, of the Tefillah, we do. When it comes to Modim, the Modim Derabbanan, Modim Anachnu Lach, the congregation answers, aye, why do we discriminate against Modim? Why is he my Shliach Tzibur for everything else? He's my messenger, he's my leader. But when it comes to saying thank you, so that's what Avraham says, no, when it comes to Hakaras HaTov, no one else can do it. You gotta do it yourself. So we see how broad Hakaras HaTov applies to the world was created for it. It extends to inanimate objects, even if they help you a little bit, to Lachamisa, and that's the Yisod, and that's what Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains. That's how God knew. That's how Moshe knew. It's like by Mitzrayim, it was understood that he himself, he's going to take the Jews out of Mitzrayim, but he himself couldn't do the first three plagues. So too, it was understood to Moshe Rabbeinu. Of course he was listening to God, but he knew God would not tell him that he has to do it himself, since he benefited from Midjan, from the Hakaras HaTov, and therefore he realized that he's in charge, but he didn't have to do it personally based on the principle of Hakaras HaTov.